Welcome to Parents Perspective.
Hola, mamita,
chirped 5-year-old Josie as she came marching through the kitchen, pushing her doll in her toy stroller.
I didn't know you were raising a linguist,
Jerry teased her friend Ellen, Josie's mom.
Well, it was quite an issue around here, Ellen began. Jim didn't see any sense in giving Josie a foreign language environment so young. But I had read that kids learn much more easily the younger they are.
Then it's amazing all elementary schools don't have foreign language programs, Jerry replied.
Yeah, we were lucky that this town actually had one near our school district. It was an event getting Josie in, with such a long waiting list.
Now, Jerry leaned both arms on the kitchen table, do you really see an advantage to Josie's learning a foreign language? Seems these days that the language everyone has to learn better is English.
From a parent's perspective, what should we know about children learning another language? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. We have two guests with expert knowledge about children learning foreign languages with us today. Naomi Woolsey is head of the primary school of Washington International School. She has experience as both a middle school and high school teacher. She's been principal of 5 schools, 4 of which are international schools. She has 2 children, a son and a daughter, and 2 granddaughters. Welcome to Parents Perspective, Naomi.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Melody Mead is the primary school assistant head at Washington International School in D.C. She lived and worked overseas for 14 years in Brazil, France, Belgium, and England. She has enjoyed moving between the classroom and administration in both primary and middle school settings. Melody has 2 children, a son 6 and a daughter 9. We're so glad you could join us today, Melody.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
What would you say are the benefits for kids to learn another language?
Well, there are so many benefits. One of them is that children really learn a greater multicultural understanding. They see things not only from their own perspective, but other ways of life and also other philosophies. Also, children are very good at developing listening skills, speaking skills, and self-discipline, which can help them later on in their professions.
Does that mean that elementary school-age kids, for example, who are in a foreign language environment, are better behaved in a classroom? Does that translate?
Does it translate? I think there's a discipline of learning and an excitement. I wouldn't say that it's a discipline such as a classroom discipline, but it's a discipline of learning and opening up your horizons and how to think about what you're learning in a language-rich environment. So once you've broken the code for one language, that's much easier to do in a second and perhaps even a third language.
Does that mean that kids who are exposed to this kind of immersion early are better at language in general? In other words, they're more sort of, I'm an English major, so I'm thinking that are these kids who speak better in any language, do they write better in any language? Are they tuned into that whole piece of their brain?
Well, I think one important thing is to focus on the oral language, and that when you speak a second language, you will find that in the first language or the mother tongue language, that that language is strengthened. They have almost what I can call a mental gymnastics of being able to think in 2 different languages, of being good at understanding subtleties of languages. And one of my favorite benefits of learning another language is not only to learn the beauty of languages, but also it's just the pure joy of being able to see and hear and communicate in the other languages, which broadens their experiences.
You mentioned learning to think in another language, and I think that's the key. I mean, when I studied other languages for school, I never really learned to think in another language. I had to translate everything in my head. And I gather that's one of the keys to really learning another language.
You can think in languages, but something that's very important is that languages are authentic and the use and the reason for speaking the language is authentic. Authentic means that it's not an academic learning, mm-hmm. that there's a reason to want to communicate and there's a reason to want to understand what's being said either in a text or mm-hmm. in a conversation. And so when children have real opportunities to speak and to use their languages, they do much better.
Oh, that's interesting. So you can have fights on the playground in various languages.
Fighting is an excellent way to improve languages.
It was mine. No, it was mine. Is there an optimum age or stage for learning a language that's not a child's native language. You hear all this all the time about, oh, get the kids when they're young and so forth. Is that so?
I would like to preface this with saying that it depends greatly on the environment and the family in which the child is learning the language. So while there may be stages which are more optimal for learning, a lot of it is just the way of your daily existence. Some children learn two languages from the very beginning. They may learn this in their home environment, or they may learn it in their community where there's a reason to speak different languages. But beyond what may come to you in terms of just your daily experiences and travels, there are some stages or windows of learning. And there's an excellent book which is written by Tokuhama Espinosa, and this book is called Raising Multilingual Children. And what's outlined in this book is that from birth to 9 months of age, language is acquired and it's not really learned. And this is just when it's the almost a bombardment of sounds and languages that happens for the young learner. This, if a child's a very auditory learner, may continue up to 2 years. What's called the second window is ages 4 to 7 years, and at this point, a child is learning the second language, or perhaps they're learning their third language. And this language is often learned in a game environment where they're learning to play, or they're learning in their school environment. A third window is after 8 years of age, and the younger the learner, the better. And here a child is using their syntax and their knowledge of grammar from the first language, and this is influencing the second language, but it's also somewhat supporting the second language. And this is where language learners may have what we call in the business language interference. And that's when you use the structures from your native tongue and you try to use the second language with those structures.
Mm-hmm. So you're translating from one into the other.
You're not necessarily translating, but there is a risk. If you do not give kids a very language-rich, and again, that word authentic reason to speak the language, then they have less opportunities to express themselves, you know, from their own thoughts in that language rather than translating it from their first language.
So the grammar can be a bad influence. For example, English grammar applied to Spanish or French or German isn't going to work.
It doesn't work. There are skills that transfer and support each other, and those are very important. And I have an anecdote, which is that my son was singing a song as we were driving in the car. He was singing a song in French, and I know that he learned the song in French. He learned what the song meant by way of explanation in French. So there was no English in his learning of this song. And he stopped it and he said, "Mommy, how do you say nothing in French?" And I said, "Rien." And then he continued to sing the song, putting in that word in French. And it was interesting to me because what he had done was he understood from his French personality and his French brain, he understood what the song meant, and he needed, because he had used the strength from his English, his native tongue, he needed to learn what the missing piece was that he forgot. And so this was a very beautiful example of the languages complementing each other, where he was using most practically two domains of his learning to support each other.
Naomi, what have you found to be the most effective method for teaching a new language to a child?
There are many ways to learn a language, but the method that we have found to be most successful is what we call immersion. And by immersion, we mean that the child is learning the second language in a way that's very similar to how he or she acquired the first language. It's very natural. In other words, the environment surrounding the child is dominated by language. And very often, the children become familiar with the language necessary to function in that environment. Now, this can be in the home. It can be in the school. And for us, it is in the school. And what we try to do in the school is recreate those natural conditions of the home where the child would learn language. And in order for this to be successful, there has to be a lot of modeling of language by the adult. There needs to be lots of opportunities for interactions among the children, and most importantly, a genuine purpose for using the language. And that would be to communicate within the classroom their needs or their expectations or their participation in whatever is happening in the classroom. For the young children, it's very important that a print-rich environment exists where they are seeing the language, and gradually literacy will develop. Of course, first listening and then speaking, and then reading and writing follow.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion on foreign language for children.
Washington, D.C. with Kids, an excellent book by authors Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis, is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We are talking with Naomi Woolsey and Melody Mead, both of the Washington International School, about foreign language for children. Does it mean that the classroom structure relies more on interaction than maybe the traditional classroom we all grew up with, where we sit in desks and the desks are in rows and we raise our hand and we're quiet and all that kind of stuff?
To a certain extent, yes. There's a great deal of interaction. But the process really begins with the teachers, the adults in the room, who set certain general procedures for each day, and the children very easily fall into those routines, and the teachers are repeating certain phrases or words over and over, and the children become very used to that. And as they become more comfortable hearing the language, then they begin to repeat those phrases and words as well, and it gradually builds from there. You will still see children using their first language when they're talking with each other, and that's fine. But as time goes on, you hear more and more of the second language in an immersion classroom.
I remember when my oldest son began taking a foreign language, it was French, and it was in middle school, in a public school. And he came home the first day that French was offered to him, and he said, "It's the craziest thing I've ever heard of. The teacher speaks to me in French. I don't know any French." Which I thought was wonderful. I said, "You know, you'll learn it eventually." He says, "But I don't know." He kept saying, "I don't know what she's saying, Mom."
Some of our 4 and 5 year olds say that if they're new to the environment. Mm-hmm. In fact, one little child, after a couple of days in kindergarten, said to his mom, "I like school, but I don't like this French."
How can parents who don't speak the new language, the second language or whatever, be supportive in this kind of environment? They have no clue what's going on.
That's a very common question. We get that one all the time. And we really try to reassure parents. They worry that they won't be able to help with the homework, and therefore it'll be a negative situation for the children. And we actually joke with them and say, "Well, just think about it. In just a few years, your child will be surpassing you in math, too, so you can put foreign language in the same category." But seriously, some of the things we suggest to them are to have the language in the environment of the home as much as they can, even though they're not speaking it, through music and tapes and other, you know, stories, whatever. Have it for the children. Have it there for them. The other thing they can do is there are many, many ways to reach out to cultural activities in the languages that are there in the towns and cities where people live, and visiting some of those or participating in some of those activities with the children. That does 2 things. One, it certainly reinforces the opportunities for the child to hear the language, and also it lets the child know that mom and dad think this is important and fun. But the main thing is to go with the flow and not be alarmed by the fact that you don't speak the language.
At the Washington International School, I'm sure you're confronted with families who move to the Washington area from places with languages that maybe nobody at your school speaks. How do you manage with so many different kinds of languages?
The common denominator is English. Mm-hmm. Most of our students do have a level of English. For those who come to us who don't, and it is a small number, we do provide English as a second language first so that they can have that foundation before they may be starting another language.
So they may not ever use the native tongue in school. They'll begin with English, and then maybe they'll go from English to Spanish or German or
Yes, it's possible.
we're talking about the significance of foreign language and sort of how it works and so forth. What do you say to the parent who says, well, I grew up without really any foreign language, and I, of course, haven't left, you know, Missouri, and I'm perfectly fine. Why does my kid have to work on all this foreign language stuff? He's going to be a welder.
We do have parents that question. I think there's two primary groups, and one is the parents speak other languages themselves, and so to go into an immersion program or to provide opportunities for their child to learn a second language is second nature. It makes a lot of sense. The other group of parents maybe are chronically monolingual, and they want more for their child. The one that you described, they maybe have one parent convinced that this is a good thing to do, and the other one really isn't quite sure because they were successful without speaking a second language. And there is, for these parents, a little bit of a leap of faith. And I think an important thing for parents that are learning about second languages and that are, you know, approaching this for their children is that when you learn a second language, there is an academic achievement in all areas can be increased and improved. And what you've provided for your child is the ability to manipulate knowledge using two or maybe three different languages, and that both languages are reinforced and strengthened by learning a second language.
How is it that your academic achievement is improved by learning a language? What's the wiring connection?
Mm-hmm. What we see when children are learning two different languages is that they've had an opportunity to look at questions from many perspectives, and that when you, from an early age or from any age, have opened up this door of being able to target a problem or use logic coming from different angles, you tend to be more successful because you're not like, you know, the old-fashioned encyclopedia salesman who, once they stop their speech in the middle, they have to start at the beginning again. They're able to enter their learning using different structures of thought. They're able to use different perspectives. Something that we haven't talked about because we've maybe focused on the academic, which is just the beauty of opening up different cultural experiences for the children. And once they have either an understanding of another culture or an empathy or an ability to look at things not always from their own perspective, this helps them in every academic subject or every profession that they would want to do, even if they're not specifically using the language in their day-to-day lives.
The other point I'd like to make regarding the monolingual parent who may have questions, actually, some of our most enthusiastic parents, enthusiastic and supportive, are monolingual themselves. And this, I think, stems from the fact that they recognize that the world is growing smaller, and the benefit of another language is a wonderful gift that they can give their child, because they know that the world their children live in will possibly be quite different from the world that they grew up in.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion on foreign language for children.
For an audio CD of any parent's perspective show, send a check or money order for $10 with your name, address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We're talking with Naomi Woolsey and Melody Mead, both of the Washington International School, about foreign language for children. Are there any drawbacks? We would call them drawbacks to the immersion program?
Really, there are more that considerations that I think parents should look at and think about their goals for the language learning. One is the parent expectations for language acquisition. Often what we see are parents that don't really see their children speaking, or they don't hear their child speaking in a second language. And so often it happens in the classroom or with a friend. As soon as you take them out of that environment, the parent won't see it. So there's a consideration on how advanced a child may become. Also, they need to look at the age of entry. When is a child going to enter into an immersion program? Is it going to be early on, and therefore it might be a real commitment in terms of their school life, or will it be later on so that they'll be learning as a later language learner? Also, to look in your community to see how much of an immersion program is offered. Is it a half-day immersion? Is it a full-day immersion? What are your goals, and what is the final outcome that you hope to get? And I think a very important thing for parents to remember is that it's a process, and that you can't just turn the light switch on and the child starts to speak the second language. In this process, the benefits happen in dribs and drabs, and all of a sudden it's like a flower and you'll see a wonderful thing happen. And this may be that your child is able to have a small conversation with a Spanish speaker, or it may be that they're actually able to have a full and fully engaged conversation. So the benefits come along.
Another consideration that is important for parents to make is that this is definitely a commitment. Immersion learning is a commitment that will take time, and parents have to look, as Melody said, beyond the present situation to what the future means for their children in terms of the education that would be available to them. We use second or third language learning rather than foreign because really to the children it's not a foreign language, it's just another language, and they become very comfortable with the language they're learning.
How can parents, especially monolingual parents, choose what language it is that they'll immerse their children in, if there's a choice?
There's a lot of things that parents should consider when they're trying to choose the language, especially if they're monolingual. If they're bilingual or multilingual themselves, it's a bit easier, isn't it? But for monolingual parents, they have to think of, well, what if they were looking at an immersion program, first of all, what would be the choices available to them? What might fit their family in terms of interest or motivation, or perhaps even future opportunities for travel or even living in other countries? And they also might want to consider the second language correlating with the linguistic roots of their first language, and whether, in fact, they think that might make it easier for their child rather than a language that's going to be very, very different from the first language. They might want to also do a little inventory of interest, not only theirs but their child, depending on the child's age. There are resources that could help. I would refer back to the book that Melody mentioned earlier, The Raising Multilingual Children, has an inventory that parents could use that would help them to make a decision. Because with a young child, obviously, the child may have some input, but basically it's a parental decision, isn't it?
I have a son who had to decide on a foreign language when he was entering high school. And we were in a situation where there was a consortium of schools that were letting kids take from each other and that kind of thing. So it was a wide variety. And I remember he very seriously told me, well, I've decided what I'm going to do. You see, the Spanish class has tests all the time, so that's going to be very hard, so I'm going to take Russian. At this point in our proceedings, we need to stop and give our parents a list of resources that you think would be helpful for them as they help their children to make this important choice. And you did mention this book before. Maybe let's mention it again and spell some names.
The book we refer to is titled Raising Multilingual Children. The author is Tokuhama Espinosa. And that's spelled T-O-K-U-H-A-M-A hyphen E-S-P-I-N-O-S-A.
It sounds like someone who came from two language cultures himself.
Another book that we have used is entitled Languages and Children, Making the Match. The author is Helena Curtin, C-U-R-T-A-I-N. Some websites that might be helpful for parents. One is the website for the Center for Applied Linguistics, www.cal.org. Another one for early foreign language learning is www.cal.org/earlylang. And another one for this is Multilingual Munchkins, and that is www.multilingualmunchkins.com.
Sounds like a television program, doesn't it?
Another website is the Bilingual Parenting in a Foreign Language, and that is byu.edu/bilingua. There are several organizations as well that would be helpful for parents. One is the National Clearinghouse for English Language Acquisition and Language Instruction, and that is www.ncela.gwu.edu. And then there is an Association for Bilingual Education, NABE, and their website is www.bcf.usc.edu.
Well, there are a lot of resources out there. We are so grateful to have all this information, and we're so fortunate that both Naomi Woolsey and Melody Mead were able to help us investigate the issues involved in foreign language for children. So thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
It's a great pleasure. Thank you.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of our latest book, Washington, D.C. with Kids. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. And please spell anything that's not obvious. That's very helpful for us. Mention show number 251. Tell us, if you can, what station you're listening to. Since we're airing all over the world, it's always fun to know what station you're tuning into. Washington, D.C. with Kids is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
To learn more about Parents' Perspective and our latest book, Washington, D.C. with Kids, visit our website, www.parentsperspective.org. That's www.parentsperspective.org. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents' Perspective. Our sound engineer is Damon Fisher. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.